Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
On the glass, their best rebounding night. Jalen blows right by Brown, gets to the cup, right hand slam. It's a 16-point game.
And that's why I made a sound. Zoom. You knew he was gone.
Most points scored by the Celtics under Brad Stevens. They're at 137.
Celtics. Kind of a phony record, but whatever.
What do you mean by that?
I'm joking. All right. The Celtics, obviously, a great record right now, playing very well.
Best team in the league.
Isaiah Thomas, just brutal on defense yesterday. I felt bad for him, actually.
Yeah, he was. That was not a good showing from him. I think he was probably nervous. He's still weirdly connected to this town, and that he gets extremely emotional when he plays there, even though it's been 2 years.
Everybody's a mismatch. Unless he's on your point guard, it's a mismatch. But Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello.
Pretty good. Fred, I'm excited to hear that you're giving basketball takes now.
Okay, well, hey.
And then you actually watched the game last night.
Well, hey, you want me to blow your mind? Do you want me to blow your mind right now?
Yes.
Okay, I sacrifice so much time to use sports. The Junior Celtics came and gave a three-hour presentation that I attended on Tuesday evening. And
nice.
There was a guy from the Positive Coaching Alliance who spent the end of the regular season and the playoffs with you and Brad, and had a lot of positive things to say. And I will tell you one thing that he said, and we can talk about this. I think it's interesting. Is he said that, what's the Australian guy? Aaron Baines. And he said that he used the 5-1. Danny, what's the 5-1?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, you call yourself a coach. All right. A 5-1 is five compliments to one negative thing. And he said, Brad.
A coaching philosophy. Okay. It
Phil Jackson made it up, but, you know, he's a hippie. But, okay. So, he says that Baines, he wanted him to shoot threes, and he said that when he was watching these practices, Baines had terrible form. He was all over the place, but due to Brad's confidence in him, he became an adequate three-point shooter.
Yeah, and Baines is like leading the league now in three-point shooting in Phoenix.
Okay, so my question is Brad's coaching style, that you wanted him to shoot three-pointers, was his coaching style, he has that effect on the players, that his positivity and his in the way he coaches in practice gives these guys the confidence to try things out of their comfort zone.
Yes, absolutely. Brad is very positive-oriented coaching style, and he does not like to have players thinking too much about shot selection. And he wants to give them the freedom to play and feel free. And especially, you know, Baines as a three-point shooter is a perfect example of that.
And now, next speaker, general manager of the Maine Red Claws. So, who do you think he said was the hardest worker on the Celtics' main roster?
Semi Ojeleye.
Oh, baby, you got that on the, you hit that on the head. He said Semi Ojeleye, because it was interesting because, and Danny, you can talk about this because we do 4 hours a day of this, but basketball seems even easier. He was talking about how you could have a 4 hour day. You come in, you do some warm ups, you have a 1 or 2 hour practice, 90 minute practice. Then, you know, you get into a cold bath, maybe you get a massage, and then the rest of the day is yours. And he said Semi is is there constantly.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy was, I left the garden late last night just because I spent some time with Brad and as they get ready for the road trip and waiting for the traffic to clear out. And anyway, Jimmy was still in the weight room training after post game, and he played. And, you know, sometimes he'll do that even when he doesn't play, but he had played some minutes and he was still in there. But, yeah, that's who Jimmy is. He's in the gym often late at night if I'm there, and I hear the ball bouncing. My first guess is Jimmy.
Okay, so, and also my final thing, because, Danny, I'm impressing you, and there's no doubt about it. He mentioned that young players, and there was a player on the team that he has, that he thinks is a brilliant basketball mind. He's a very young player, but he's a little immature, and he is almost Rondo-esque in that he will ask questions of the coaches. He will challenge the coaches. Do you know who he would be talking about?
Maybe Tremont Waters or maybe Romeo Langford. I think they both
Romeo. Well, Tremont Waters, he said, has a tremendous basketball mind, and that was who he was talking about. He said that he is challenging, he said. And then Romeo Langford, he said, is very immature, and that in that he's a great guy, but he's very immature. So there is a coach that they basically assigned to him to take him around Boston and things like that. Is that true?
You know, I don't think he's very immature. I think he's young, and I think he has some growing up to do for sure, and just becoming more of a professional and all those things like most every kid at his age. But yeah, I think he has a really good mind, and I think he's a willing learner and a question asker. So I'm really excited about Romy's future.
Okay, now how much have I impressed you with my insight into the goings on behind the scenes with the Celtics?
Yeah, no, that's a good class you're taking, the Tuesday night coaching classes. I think that'll get you right there. You mean our next candidate.
Okay, our practices are at Brown Middle School in Newton on Sundays from 6 to 7. I expect you to come when?
No. Not coming.
Not for the kids? The struggling youth of Newton?
No, I'm coming to a game. I'll come to a game maybe, but not a practice.
Oh, hold him to it, Fred. That's awesome.
Okay.
He's counting.
All right, you come to the game, you coach the game.
Oh, no. I'll watch the game. Sounds like you know how to coach. You know what you're doing in coaching now, Fred.
I do not. I refuse to run a zone because I think that's bad for the kids. Do you agree?
Yeah. At what age are we talking?
We're talking sixth graders, baby, the big time.
Yeah. They need to learn to stay in front of their man. Defensive fundamental, sure.
And before I let people who know more about the professional game than I, what sort of offense should I run?
Well, just they need to learn spacing at six because they all bunch up and chase the ball.
Yeah.
Like young kids in soccer, so they need to learn to, you know, be patient and keep the floor spaced. That's the number one priority.
Yeah, that's the point where I start screaming from the sidelines. Space it out, dumb. And so that's my coaching style. But thank you for your time. Now I will turn it over to Richard Lee.
These questions will be way less detailed or interesting than Fred's are. I guarantee you that. But you mentioned Aaron Baines and how well his three-point shooting has gone. And the one major thing that I've noticed this year is I've stopped screaming at my TV when Marcus Smart launches up a three. He has gone in 3 years, in three different seasons in a row, from being one of the worst three-point shooters, guys that just ill-advised shots, to last year, him getting better, going through streaks, to this year being a legitimate good three-point shooter. As a matter of fact, this morning I checked, he has the same three-point percentage as Chris Middleton, and he's 2 points ahead of Buddy Hield. Scott Brooks even yesterday was saying that we can't leave him open anymore. This guy's a legitimately good three-point shooter. Did he do anything in the offseason? Like, did he meet with a specialist, or what kind of, was there any kind of concerted effort to correct that part of his game? Because whatever it is, it's working.
Well, so Marcus My opinion of Marcus was I thought that when we drafted Marcus that he had a chance to be a good three-point shooter with his mechanics and so forth. And he started out bad, but then he had, if you remember, he had like a couple years with he had messed up hand, right hand. He had a thumb surgery, and he was playing with a splint on his hand in the playoffs one year. I mean, he had the his situation where he had a bunch of stitches put in his right hand. He punched a mirror. And so he's gone through some of that, and I think that has affected his three-point percentage in years prior. But last year, Marcus shot the ball great from three. I think he was a 36% three-point shooter last year. And the thing I appreciate about Marcus, you can't just look at percentages. Marcus is a guy on our team who will shoot the ball from three-quarter court as the buzzer sounding or as the shot clock's going down. He'll heave it where a lot of players just hold it to protect their percentages. And Marcus doesn't care about that stuff. He's all about winning the game. But I think Marcus has been a good three-point shooter all year last year. One year he shot over 40% from the three-point line during the playoffs in our Long Eastern Conference run. So I'm not surprised that people are starting to recognize him as a three-point shooter.
Do you feel for Marcus when he complains about not getting the calls that these superstar players get? And he was saying that, you know, he's constantly being hit when he's also a guy that for the last several years he's cleaned it up but was a notorious flopper. Do you feel for him when he complains about that, or is this kind of, unfortunately, for a while until that reputation goes away, this is the bed you've laid in?
Well, you know, here's the thing I have about flopping. Like, I have a problem with the word flopping in general, because I think that you're not flopping if you actually are simply drawing attention to the contact made, the illegal contact made in most times. So if a guy bashes you with his left shoulder and you go down to the ground, that is not a flop. That's drawing attention to the play, which you have to do. Otherwise, referees aren't going to call it.
But Marcus does that when he's not hit. Sometimes, or used to, rather.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that, you know, then that could be considered a flop. But I don't think he does as much of that as people say he does.
Not anymore. Yeah, you're right.
I think that Marcus is a very physical player. But, you know, he's a very emotional guy, too, as we know. So I think that there are times when I think that he did get the raw end of the call, and there's times when Marcus thinks he got the raw end of the call, and I don't really think he did. I watched the replay, and no, like, that was the right call. But I think that's the case with every player.
How much
go ahead.
I was going to say, Dan, how much did it burn you as a player when somebody would flop and you would end up getting a foul for it, and you're just standing there knowing it was faked?
Well, you would flop five times for every time someone flopped.
Yeah, I was a pretty good flopper, too. I think I got the better end of that deal than guys flopping against me. But
if you would argue that, I would have had to call you out.
I think that, again, you know, like, I believe acting. I've joked with players that I've coached and talked to, you know, like, they need to do a better job of acting. Like, you have to, which I should send them to a thespian class in the middle of the summer and teach them how to act and draw attention to the game, to the play.
What's the key to delivering the best flop? Because Paul Pierce had that. He would yell every time, and that would be one thing that I think he got more calls just from that yell than anything that he did with his hands or his body.
Yeah, no, I think that yelling is part of it. You hear that a lot. A lot of players are yelling to, you know, the official and grunting as they're going into the basket and making it seem like they're getting hit. But, again, you know, if you do it too much and you're not, and the referees are, you know, they watch all their calls on their travels, and, you know, they see all of it. And so they know at the end of the game, wow, I was really wrong on those two Jason Tatum calls tonight or the Jaylen Brown calls. And, you know, they know that. They know which ones they missed and which ones they didn't miss, and they know which ones where the players tried to show them up and, you know, they had the right call. And so, yeah, you build a reputation in this league. It's a small world, and there's not that many referees, and they do know guys that are showing them up, guys that are complaining too much, guys that they made wrong calls on because they got tricked. So you develop a reputation as your career goes on.
All right, speaking of Paul Pierce, I don't have to tell you, you guys got a lot of retired numbers. 22 numbers, a nickname. I know that you have mentioned recently about considering possibly issuing some of those numbers. Where do you stand on that? Because, I mean, when, you know, almost 25% of all two-digit numbers that you can have are taken, and maybe you're trying to recruit. I know that there was a problem with Kevin Durant because he was number 35, and I believe it was Reggie Lewis, unfortunately. Yeah. But his number had been retired. And you couldn't, you know, like, it might hurt recruitment of people who want to keep their number. Are you considering possibly issuing retired numbers?
Would Cedric Maxwell be the first? Because he is the most,
least worthy is what you're trying
least
to say.
Worthy yeah. of everyone.
Listen, I'm not looking to do anything. First of all, that's 100% Wick's call on whether we do or not do that. But I'm not in any rush. I broached the subject a couple years ago as a possibility. At some point, we may need to consider an alternative just because we have 17-man rosters and instead of 12, and you know the numbers are you see the numbers that our guys are playing with. It's different, and so I'm not in a rush to do it. I love our history. I love our tradition. I love the retired numbers hanging in our practice facility and at the garden. All of that is fantastic, and it's rich in history. And I just think that there's going to come a time if we do some more, that we may have to consider an alternative. And the other thing that I think that would be helpful is, you know, a whole generation of people don't even know who a lot of those numbers are. And so by acknowledging the names with the numbers could be beneficial too at some point. But anyway, it's
Ring
not
of
a
Honor.
Deal.
Yeah, like a Ring of Honor is. Yeah.
A Ring of Honor is a possibility someday. But again, that's just my opinion. And, you know, that's something that Wick will decide when it's time. But I think that Wick loves the way it is now. And, he loves where we are. He's okay with the squirrely numbers that some of the guys are playing with.
All right, so it was obviously a somewhat of a heartbreaker with Gordon Hayward breaking his hand. He was in the middle of what looked like it could have possibly been an all-star season. I mean, obviously this guy's been dealt some bad breaks. We all know that. When that happened and you found out it was a broken hand, have you spoken with him and kind of seen where his head is at right now?
Oh yeah, I've spoken with Gordon a handful of times already. He's all right. He's in a good place. I mean, it's a bummer, but it's not, you know, anywhere near what he's had to deal with before. So he, you know, it'll be a 6-week recovery, but he'll be able to keep his legs in shape. He'll be able to get on a bike by Friday, by tomorrow, and he'll be, you know, running on the court and dribbling with his right hand. You know, by Monday or Tuesday of next week. So he'll be able to stay in shape and stay ready for when the bone heals. And we'll have to, you know, the hardest thing about losing Gordon is not that, you know, just losing him and not having him for a game like last night and putting an extra burden on other players, because Gordon has been playing so great. He's our most efficient player, shooting 57% from the field. Having a terrific year. And so now other guys have to do more. And so then when Gordon comes back, you know, then other guys get to do less. And so I think it's always a fun opportunity. I think I've told you guys before, you know, I used to love it when Larry Bird wasn't going to play in a game because he was sick or something on a night. Now, I always, of course, wanted Larry on my team whenever we were playing in the playoffs, but you know, there are those games where, okay, you know, I'm going to get some more shots up today and going to get an opportunity to do a lot more. And, you know, and I think that's a good opportunity for the guys on our team right now. And then when Gordon comes back, you know, trying to fit that back in, sometimes a challenge just when he returns to play. So that's the only bummer about it is we were really developing there's been a lot of talk about chemistry of this team, and they're great kids, but they're really figuring each other out on the court, too. So now that takes a little bit of a step back. And we'll try to reinvent the rotations and reinvent everything when you lose a significant player like that.
That's not a shooting hand, right?
It is not a shooting hand, no.
How tough is it, like, to, like, having the non-shooting hand hurt? Like, what are some things that are going to be difficult for him?
I think it's going to be much easier with his non-shooting hand than his shooting hand. Gordon does use his left, likes to dribble with his left, but, you know, he's a dominant right-handed finisher. So I think that that's much better than having his left hand be the one that got hurt instead of his right.
Danny, what do we do with this Grant Williams kid?
Grant's a stud. He's going to be fine. I really like his game. I think he's going to be a guy that is a glue to our team, great, high character, versatile player. I'm excited about his future.
Yeah, we'll talk off air. All right. Are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram, yeah.
Do you follow Fred Tutcher?
I do not, no.
Are you going to follow? I'm an influencer.
I follow very few people on Instagram.
Again, are you going to follow me on Instagram?
I do follow you on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter.
I don't like Twitter. I don't like Twitter. It's a tool of the man. On Instagram, you follow me. I'm an influencer.
What are you trying to influence me to do?
Buy products?
Like what?
Like I did a yoga pose yesterday, and it was from the mat was from Gary's Yoga Emporium. And
right.
Yeah, and I got some shades that I'm pushing on the kids. I mean, if you want, I'm sure most of your players follow me on Instagram. It's a connection that you could make. I don't know, but you know that's up to you, Danny. That's up to you.
Well, I have to check it out. I may give you a few weeks to impress me, but you know, for me to stay with you, you gotta really do something good.
Oh, I'm doing. I was just at a 3-hour Positive Coaching Alliance and listened to the Red Claws guy for an hour. I mean,
okay.
I mean, you got to be impressed by my dedication to the youth.
Yes, I am impressed by that. I agree. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
And you remembered all that. That you remembered all that stuff.
Oh, I was high. All right. Well, well, Danny Ainge, I look forward to you following me. I look forward to you attending one of our games on a Saturday over there at Brown Middle School. And I look forward to our weekly off-air conversation that we have. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, Fred.
All right.
See you guys.
Okay, bye.
See you, bye.
All right. Give me any flack.
It's the kind of insider knowledge you get here on the Touch and Rich Show, Fred.
Hey, did you know that? Did you know that Romeo Langford had...
Moxie?
No, that he had a guy that has to be his personal coach, that has to take him around.
The only guy that I knew that about was Fab Mello.
Yeah.
I remember he had a guy that was like that.
Yeah, and so I think I said good things. I think that the idea that I said that Aaron Baines did not know how to shoot threes and that the way that Brad Stevens coached him...
Robert Williams did, too. I forgot.
That's right, he was the time lord.
Because he was so late for everything.
His apartment is actually
We agree that Grant Williams sucks. It was a blown pick. I mean, we agree on a lot of things. All right, we're running late, but hey, when you got the man on the phone, you take your time. You don't run around playing with some clock. All right, we'll be right back.
The Patriots are back and face the most challenging part of their schedule.
Throws to the end zone for Edelman. Ties in. Touchdown, Patriots.
This Sunday afternoon at 4:25, it's the Patriots and the Eagles from Philly. Boom. Pre-game at 1:30 from Howl at the Moon at Patriot Place.
Touchdown, Patriots! Boom!
Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak bring you the call of the game. The Safety Insurance, 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We'll be right back.
he kills you slowly.
Bang, 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 don't you ever do this.
I go to this gym. Obviously, I'm going to a gym, and this guy is one of these guys that, like, you know, quote unquote, doesn't listen to this show, but he happened to hear the Jimmy Stewart thing and was breaking down the Beer City Brawler or the Beer City...
Beer City Brawlers, I think is what they call it. He was the guy who was getting the dart in his back, right?
Yeah, he said he's been around the block. This ain't his first rodeo. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of like dissing me that I didn't know that he'd been around for a while.
Well, Joe Murray got a little excited for good reasons because we are the only show that we'll book the guys from the WWE. And we have a guy coming up on Monday because Raw is in town. You doing the Andy Wong situation?
Yes, yep, the Kowloon crew in effect.
Okay, all right, they're rolling nice. Deep. They're going to be doing that. And Joe Murray said, this guy you got in studio, I'd buy stock in him. Like if I was like, this is the Ricochet.
Ricochet, he's up. Yep, he's been there. I've actually met him in New Orleans 2 years ago when they signed him. But he's like, you know, wrestling back in the day used to be the big guys, like Big John Studd, Andre the Giant. Like now it's going to the more, I guess, like more athletic wrestlers.
Sure.
But he's the guy's a star. He's been all over the country, New Japan, you name it.
So you and Jimmy Stewart basically are going to handle this situation.
I don't know if Jay Stu's coming in, but I'm here.
Jay Stu's coming in.
Okay.
Don't you worry, none. Okay.
But if not, he
might not be able to. I'm here. I'm being told.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just being told that.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. Sarge is always around. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. There's a lot to know about this guy, though. His girlfriend was American Ninja Warrior. She was like, I think she won it.
Is she that tiny
Kristen
girl?
Kristen Catanzaro is her name.
Oh,
she
really?
She was a wrestler. Yep. I don't know if I should say this, but he had some sort of video that leaked at one point.
Oh, I know. I know this guy.
Yeah.
This was a big story that came out like, what, a year and a half?
Nah, it's probably, I think, yeah, within the year.
Okay.
A sexy video?
I don't know. I don't know. We got to look it up. I don't want
to. I can't believe it hasn't been brought to my attention. He's such a big name.
But Ricky, like worldwide though, he's like, you know, big up and comer, and he's like one of the top guys right
okay,
now.
Okay, question around the room: most depressing a celebrity sex tape?
I have to go with Gene Simmons.
It is a tie. Is the correct answer between Vince Neil and Gene Simmons?
Well, Gene Simmons, he was just like,
well, the woman seems to be completely indifferent on the situation,
and he was just like, I'm keeping my clothes on.
Well, he might have been known as being filmed, but. The Vince Neil is a he takes Janine, the porn star, and some other porn girl on vacation, and he like happily jumps in the bed, and then just proceeds to lay, and then you get bored. I can safely say I have not seen over a quarter of the Vince Neil sex tape, as it was so boring. As it was very, very boring. You know, I was at WrestleMania 3, Joe Murray.
Really?
Seventh row seats.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to invite Sarge to come up?
I mean, if he wants to commit, I mean, it's your. I'm just sitting here.
He shows up.
I am just sitting here.
Joe has been up once today.
Yeah. And even Joe Murray sitting there.
And I didn't even sound the alarm. I did not sound the Joe Murray alarm, which I should have done. That's when he gets up from his seat. But would that make you angry if Sarge was here? Or would
not
you
at all.
Welcome that? Because I know you like. Now, are you one of those guys like Jay Stu who likes Mike Riley but doesn't like Sarge?
No. I love Mike. Okay. I love the kid.
Okay.
One of my best friends.
All right.
Yeah, we're best friends.
Well, then I will invite him up.
If you want to invite, yeah.
Rich made a good point. How often has his bingo calling been affecting your relationship?
I don't know. I mean, we hang out every once in a while. I did go to an event that he did once.
Go to pub night at Woodland Country Club?
I have not. But he is good at trivia.
Pints and trivia?
And he's a good MC. I've been. I actually get.
You know
into
what's super uncomfortable is being somewhere and then realizing that he's the entertainment.
It's all good, baby.
No, it's kind of uncomfortable.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Hey, Fred. Great to see you.
You're the help.
So, do you guys after you guys roll in the Annie Wong suite? Do you go to Kowloon afterwards?
I have. I mean, I live like literally. It's the song "Stairway to Heaven." Is literally from the Kowloon to my house.
So you're right there.
Oh, yeah.
You can walk there?
No.
Well,
I mean,
obviously
like
you
the
couldn't.
7 minutes.
But could someone walk there?
No, you can't. You gotta drive.
Right. So you get in the car and you put on this.
You put on the stairway to heaven.
Sure, and by the time.
The second I pull in, it's there.
How often do you go?
I've been there probably three times in the last month.
And Andy Wong's taking care of you?
No, one night, no. We all went together one night. We went to AEW, the new wrestling in the area.
That's when you were the king of the place, right?
Dude, we were rock stars.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh my God, it's Joe Murray, right?
People were asking me gambling advice. Well, no, I'm trying to watch Chris Jericho here. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a good time.
People were asking me how to skin a live animal, which I gladly gave the advice. All right, we ran long with Danny Ainge. So what's coming up, Rich? Certainly.
There was a fight in the NFL between an owner and son, or rather a coach and son. On top of that, one of the worst teams in sports says, you know what, we're going to keep our awful coach. And once again, people will not stop bugging Mike Francesa about his farts.
I look forward to hearing the last thing that you talked about. Here are the headlines.
The sports app.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich. Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Well, this happened probably about a week ago now. Mike Francesa, while he's on the air, just kind of lazily doing his break. And
when you cannot function.
A little lean to the left.
That has permeated media. There is everything on Apple TV screwed up now because of the Disney thing. So, I ended up watching some guy. It's the two guys, in Brooklyn, whatever. And they were going into the Francesa fart. I mean, this is national news.
And why is it such a big story?
Because he will not admit that he farted.
Right. It's over. The story is over and done with if he goes, oops, or in the kind of laughs, or even just says, you know what, I would admit it if I did that. That was actually my seat, but I do hear the sound. But he's like, nothing. It was in, someone would have had their lying, and then you can hear.
When you cannot function.
And then, of course, the New York Daily News comes out with a headline in which he reads,
Mike Francesa appears to rip. Fought while ripping Adam Gase.
And so for the next...
And that came out, by the way, during his show, right. that day,
which is just awesome. They were on it.
Yeah, because they're poking at him. They know he's going to react.
So for 6.5 minutes, he denied it. And we know what happens. You denied it. You're the one who supplied it. And Fred, with denial comes people trying to poke the bear or poke the sleeping bear, I think we should say, with Mike Francesa. Here is yet another call to his show yesterday.
Anthony in Rockville Center. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Boy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Real quick. I know you don't want to talk too much on the Houston, so I'll make it quick.
Science stealing drives me crazy. Go ahead. What's up?
One quick thing.
Go ahead.
I really don't know what's worse. Them stealing signs or you passing gas.
Yeah, well, I didn't do it anyway, so, I mean, that's really hilarious, but it didn't happen anyway, but that's okay. I mean, that's just...
He gets so befuddled. Dude's been on the radio for 90 years, and he can't take a phone call. I don't know. Is it you passing gas? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, Jesus, dude.
Just like be like, okay, yeah.
No, because he can't.
And I don't know why.
Because he's crazy. Because he's insane. He's announced his retirement because he's afraid he's going to lose the fall book to Michael Kay. And this is all a way that he can try to assure that that doesn't happen. He's nuts. He's absolutely nuts.
When you cannot function.
The best part of that is then he takes a deep inhale.
And leans.
Yeah, and just loves the smell of his farts.
It came from me. I mean, you know what? It smells great.
Oh, it's going to continue. And please, by all means, continue the phone calls because I love each and every other, every creative way of getting through and asking about it. What was the other guy? Could you tell us which way the wind blows? In this game?
I'm not positive he got that.
No, I think I don't think he did either.
I think he just thought it was a dumb question. But
at this moment, he just straight up said your farts.
Mike Francesa appears.
Here it is right here.
Anthony in Rockville Center. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. What's happening?
You, boy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Real quick. I know you don't want to talk too much on the Houston, so I'll make it quick.
Science stealing drives me crazy. Go ahead. What's up?
One quick thing.
Go ahead.
I really don't know what's worse. Them stealing signs or you passing gas.
Yeah, well, I didn't do it anyway, so, I mean, that's really hilarious, but it didn't happen anyway, but that's okay.
Which I didn't do. The guy's in his 60s. I mean, this is something that you want to talk about being a kindergartner. This show gets very immature, but Jesus. It's like, I mean, which I didn't do anyway. Just calm yourself down, stupid. You, for all those years, you never farted. For all those years, there was never an audible fart.
Never.
For all those, I mean, Jesus. You're not like on a date. I mean, you know, like you're not like, you know, driving in a car with a chick you want to bang. You're on the radio. On a sports station. It's not like, you know, you're interviewing the, you know, whatever, the SI cover model of the swimsuit issue and you fart.
You fool.
I mean, I think it's happened to all of us. I've had to.
I farted a million times where you can hear it. I mean, in Atlanta, I used to fart in the mic. I mean, I've seen Zolak's balls. I've seen,
But who hasn't then?
Years ago, Scott. Years ago.
It's been a long, long time. Well, speaking of someone showing their balls, the owner of the Jets walked out, Christopher Johnson, and
he's
said.
He's such a good owner.
He goes, you know what? Hey, you know this coach everyone hates?
With that, I want to assure you there will be no changes in coaches here. Adam has the trust of this team. He has the trust of Sam. He has Joe's trust. He has my trust.
All right.
All right. Well, here's the deal with that, is that they made an awful miscalculation on hiring Gase, and that's obvious, and I didn't even mind the hire. So that's on me, too. But, I mean, they can't fire him. They're gonna ruin. Yeah, you're right, Scott, right. Like, they can't fire him because they're going to ruin Darnold. I mean, he needs some sort of consistency with his offensive coaching staff or he's going to fall apart. So they put themselves in quite a conundrum, is that they got a 23 now? They got a 23-year-old kid that they think is the next star in the league, and they can't. They hired some loser that they thought was a quarterback guru, and now they can't get rid of him.
Well, the best joke is that Tannehill's all of a sudden playing well now that he's not under Adam Gase.
Listen, Adam Gase is a garbage coach. I was wrong. I thought he was a quarterback guru. But obviously he is not. You can put him with a special teamer as his coach, and obviously he has more success.
Well, Fred, I know it's driving you crazy on your Apple TV, but Disney has reported 10 million signups for Disney Plus. And to be quite honest, I have not done it yet, but The Mandalorian will be the first thing I watch once this work week is over with. I am looking forward to that. 88% positive. It's got Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, in, as a matter of fact, and a couple of other people like that. I think Jon Favreau ended up directing it. I heard, however, that they are editing. They edited a scene in Star Wars, like the most controversial scene in Star Wars, which is weird to say,
Han Solo. Cafe, right?
Yeah, it's Greedo and Han Solo. And in the new version that's on Disney Plus, I need to get the clip.
I've seen it.
Greedo yells a warning before he shoots him. It's like some word like Kabarda and like shoots. It's like as if Han Solo was like, oh, this word means he's going to kill me. And then he shot him. Like, they added an extra word so Han Solo didn't look like a murderer.
Okay, so my daughter is 9, and she told my wife, they were coming home. My wife said, do you want to watch the end of Legally Blonde? And she says, no, you have to see the episode of Jersey Shore where Dina and Snooki make out. So she's no stranger. God, she loves Jersey Shore. But that freaked her out beyond anything. Like that clip
of Greedo,
like just Star Wars is kind of creepy looking now. Like the first one.
Oh, the Star Wars bar is awesome. Like that scene is amazing.
No, I know, but
because it's freaky, it's legitimately scary.
Yeah. So like, but like that, it's like that's late 70s.
Oh yeah,
grainy
it's
stuff.
Dark and like the real puppets. It's not CGI, so it makes it creepier.
She started going like, turn it off, because I didn't know what was going on, and she was looking over my shoulder. So yeah, that was that's a creepy scene.
Maybe she should watch The Mandalorian.
Well, she wants to see Dina and Snooki make out, so I don't know what wrong steps I've taken as a father.
Dina got lucky on that show, by the way. Like she just got like planted in there one day.
But now Dina sucks.
Yeah, and she like had a kid.
She's like a mom. The only one that's running things now is Angelina. Yeah. Have you seen JWoww?
Recently, yeah. Well, she
got one of her kids' faces tattooed on her hand.
She's a bad bitch. Like, she's a bad girl.
When she was in Italy, she was actually good looking. She had the best plastic surgery, and then now she looks like a freak.
Yeah, a lot of tanning.
No. She has fillers and all this crap. The only one who's improved themselves is Snookster.
The Sitch?
Well, apparently when the Sitch got out of jail, and now he's the inspiration, not the situation. Apparently when he got out of jail, now he's like huge again.
Yeah. So. He's got a beautiful wife. She might be the most pretty on the show.
You see, can you imagine that face without makeup?
She might be the most pretty on the show.
Oh, on the show?
Yeah, on the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not saying a whole lot.
Yeah, but
the prettiest girl on the show was the girl that the situation would take home on a regular basis. The skinny one that was just kind of like whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Damn. I watched 3 episodes a night. All right, what do you want me to break? Okay, we'll break, and then we'll be right back.
Boston's home for sports. Sharon Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, we found that clip. This is newly inserted into Star Wars on Disney Plus, so Han Solo doesn't look like a murderer. Huh. Now Greedo yells the word McClunky?
Just talk to that priest that came home. That Oscar.
Yes, I bet you have.
McClunky.
Which, where that came from?
Them's fighting words.
McClunky.
So didn't they change it to where Greedo shot first in one of the first director's cuts?
So somebody sent me, there are 4 different cuts of the movie. There's the original, there was one that they did made some small change a couple years when it got on video, and then about like 10 years ago, they made it to where you see a laser beam coming out of Greedo's gun before Han Solo's. Right. And now in this one, that was not enough warning. He had to yell McClunky, which I guess Tatooine-ish means I'm going to kill you.
All right. So we called the girl in middle school Greedo, and I didn't get the reference, but she would blow her nose and eat the napkin.
Oh.
She would eat the Kleenex.
Did you?
Yeah. Done that.
What?
She's
hungry. Blow her nose into a tissue, and then eat the tissue.
A napkin?
Yes. But like if you blow it, like a tissue, you get a good core chunk out there. Like you've never done it?
I've eaten some gross stuff. I've never eaten a napkin.
Did Greedo do that in the movie?
No, it's just because he has the big ass nose.
It was because she was so ugly.
I like the one.
But I didn't know enough about Star Wars to get why we called her Greedo. Just like there was a kid in my fraternity, everyone called Floyd. And I thought it was because of Pink Floyd, but it was because of the Dazed and Confused. So I'm way behind on the references.
I thought it was behind Pink Floyd. Floyd the Barber.
Hey, Andy, if you're going to Mount Pilot, could you get me some new scissors?
He was necessary.
What show was that for?
All I know is a Nirvana song. 100% necessary. Oh, that show
has he moved yet today?
Once. Yep, once. He got up.
What storyline has Floyd the Barber pushed? There has to have been like a Floyd the Barber like gets laid episode or something. Courts a lady.
Yeah, I have. Just plot for you. We got Goober doing headlines today. Beatles out, Hardy's in, he's sliding over.
Now, which one is this?
We got McCone.
Tim McCone.
The one Felger doesn't know his name.
I know Tim McCone's name.
You know, we played that game like hey, name everybody in the building, name this salesperson, that salesperson, name person that's actually been on doing headlines on your own show. Felger couldn't name him.
I've played golf with guys several times that I don't know their names.
That's different.
Because I'm such a narcissist.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
And I'm always thinking about myself.
I'm a bad name bearer. That's why I call everybody, hey, pal.
Yeah.
Buddy.
No, because there's a point where you don't know somebody's name, and then you've known them too long to ask them their name.
Yeah. I know everything about the person.
Steve Burton does that. Hey, buddy.
I know where they went to college, what they do for a living, but I don't know their names. All right.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. MA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.